So, Behrouz, first of all, while living on Manus, you've documented a lot of your experiences. What made you want to write a book?
Yeah, I think it is a simple question and has a simple answer. Because the main reason that I write and I publish this book, and you know, also I made a movie, the reason is that I am a writer. So a writer, that's the, you know, the writer duty is to write. So it is a part of me as a writer, and everywhere that I write. So imagine that I was in a different place. Definitely I would publish a different novel. So the main reason is that I am a writer. But I would like to take you to the beginning when they exiled me to Manus Island. I suddenly found myself in a remote island, in a remote prison. And I think on that time I remember that, you know, I started to work on based off this thinking that it is my duty as a writer, it is my duty as a journalist, you know, it is my mission. So that's why I started to work, and after 5 years, finally I published this book.
Now, in the book as well, you mentioned, Behrouz, that you don't use the stories or identities or descriptions of any of the real refugees that you've come across in an effort to protect both their privacy and their safety. But how did you go about constructing and writing the stories for the refugees that you speak about in the book?
Yeah, you know, my style is mix fiction and non-fiction language, and we cannot say that this book is magical realism, because in magical realism you don't know exactly the story happened. You know, you don't know the name of the, you know, location or position. So, but we know that this story is about Manus. So I think it is not a magical realism, and it's not realism. It is a different style that I use to write a story, that we use it as a piece of history, and in other side we use it as a, you know, a philosophical or a piece of art. So I you know, my style is in a way that protect the characters. You know, the people cannot, when they read the book, even the refugees, if they read the book, they cannot recognize that, which character, you know, they cannot recognize the character. So that's style I use to protect people and prevent people to, you know, recognize the character. So that's why I use this style. And I think, I had to do it in this way. So people cannot recognize the characters.
Now, the making of this book is a story in itself. The entire book was written bit by bit over WhatsApp, which is just astonishing. Omid, could you talk us through the process of composing the book and how it finally got to the stage of being published?
Absolutely. It's a fascinating process, and while we were involved in it, it seemed to flow really naturally, but now reflecting on it, I also wonder how we got it all done. What happened was that in the Munis Mansoubi, who is Behrouz's very first translator, who's been in touch with him from maybe about a year before I contacted Behrouz, she would receive bits and pieces from Behrouz from different chapters, various chapters, and Behrouz would instruct her about where to place them, and Munis would convert these into a PDF file. She would then send me, email me the PDF file, and when I received every chapter, there would be one long text message. So there were no paragraph breaks or anything like that. It was just one long text message every chapter. Behrouz would then, as I was translating, Behrouz would then contact me and sometimes add bits and pieces throughout the chapter, usually at the end, but sometimes in between as well. And I would be in regular contact with Behrouz if there was maybe a section I wouldn't understand or something wasn't unclear, or, you know, if I had any sort of suggestions for him. And then sometimes we'd get involved in long discussions about particular parts of the book, and that would then slightly transform the text. So, in fact, if you look at the original Farsi and the English translation, they're significantly different now, because the translation process was not just translation, it was also a lot of consultation and editing that went along with it.
Now, Omid, one thing that I found really interesting was that you chose to translate a lot of what Behrouz had written into poetry. What was behind that decision?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. A lot can be said about this. Like I mentioned, that every chapter came to me in a PDF as one long text message, so no breaks or anything like that. Now, what I noticed was that there were certain parts of Behrouz's writing quite regularly. He would make allusions to different literary traditions, and he'd write quite poetically. And this is not uncommon, writing in Farsi or even writing in Kurdish, probably even more in Kurdish. But in Farsi, there was these really interesting rhythmic movements, this really fascinating kind of cadence in his writing, and also the other issue was that Farsi has really long, elaborate sentences with a lot of different clauses explaining and detailing certain features of or certain events, trying to make certain points. The subject is at the beginning of the sentence and the verb is right at the end. So often, you know, you have to read through all of these different clauses before you arrive at the verb, which I guess transferring that into English by keeping the sentence structure would be really awkward and difficult to read. So what I had to do was actually split up these long sentences into shorter sentences. And that often meant repeating subjects, verbs, adverbs, adjectives, certain phrases. It also meant I had to be particularly creative when it came to using different kinds of literary techniques or you know, even the sentence structure or the use of punctuation. I had to be really flexible and draw on different kinds of styles to be able to convey what's going on and Behrouz's meaning. So this actually opened up a lot of room for what I refer to as literary experimentation. So, in fact, I realized that I could do a whole range of different things when transferring it into English. And one of them, I thought, one of the best ways to do that was actually to transfer prose into verse. And it worked really well, and it actually maintained that lyrical quality of the original language.
And so one for both of you now. Throughout this whole experience, did you ever fear what the consequences could be for writing and publishing and putting this book out there into the world?
You know, I was worried only because of the guards and authorities to come and take my, you know, writing. That's why I worked on WhatsApp and I send all the text bit by bit. So the main, worriness was that. But of course that we are in a prison and always we live in fear. We live in a very harsh situation. So but the guards twice attack our rooms, and they took my phone, and I had to smuggle another phone. Yeah, always I am worried. So because we are working, and we are in a prison run by a government, a cruel government, and already 12 people died on Manus Island and Nauru. Of course, yeah, we always are worried, not me only, other refugees as well.
To be honest with you, that never crossed my mind at all. I mean, I knew what I was doing was, you could say, on the right side of history. I knew that what the work that I was doing with Behrouz is going to be the most, one of the most significant things, not just in terms of exposing Australia's border politics and the atrocities that occur on in detention centres right throughout Australia and offshore, but I also knew that this was going to be an important literary creation. It was going to be a huge contribution to the discussion. So, to be honest, if at any stage, maybe towards the end, I thought that, you know, there might be some kind of repercussions, it paled in comparison to the outcome of this project.
Just before I let you both go, what, I guess, is the main takeaway that you want people to have after finishing this book? And what are your hopes for the future of the book?
You know, actually, this book, I wrote it for, you know, over the generations, over the, you know, time, I mean, the history. So I wrote this book forever. So that's why I use the, you know, this style. And just I would like to ask the readers to don't reduce the book to only political frame, because this book is not only about the refugees. This book is about Kurdish culture. This book is about Australian society, Australian history, and also there are some philosophical and morality concept in the book, and some important thing about the nature and the power of nature. It is about life. So I think just I would like to ask from the readers to don't look at this book only a limited frame, in the only political frame. My hope is that, you know, actually we are targeting the academic people and the intellectual people first, because we think that if the book read by the academic people and intellectual people, they are able to write about it and do some research on based off this book. And, you know, in the universities already we got so many great feedback from the academic people. And many people are going to write academic articles. You know, but in other side, I hope that, you know, we, you know, have effect on this policy and, you know, on public opinion. About what the Australian government is doing on Manusana and Nauru. But yeah, we should wait, because we don't know. It is only our aim, and we should wait. And I think this book will find its way, and just we should wait and see that what will happen. Yeah, of course, this book is not only about the academic people, for the intellectual places. This book is for public opinion as well. So just we should wait. I think any reader in any position is able to take some important thing from this book. So this book is for everyone.
Well, for me personally, and my out of my conversations with Behrouz, one is that well, there are two things. One of them is to convey systematic torture, that this book is really about, I mean, essentially about trying to explain to an Australian audience and an international audience that what's going on in Manus Island and in Nauru and in other detention centres, even in with people who are in community detention, is that this is a an organized, a systematic form of torture that's being inflicted on people. So if throughout his journalism and his film and his speeches, Behrouz is adamant that people still don't understand exactly what's going on in these sites. And it's, in fact, a well-planned, well-designed form of torture. So that's one thing. The other one is that it's trying to deconstruct the image that people have about displaced and exiled peoples. Refugees are knowledge producers. They're people who have something really important, something significant to offer to discussions and to intellectual debates that no one else can, because of the particular situation that they're in and the particular perspective that they have. So these are the two things that I think can be, I think, the two of the most important points about the book, the impact that it can have. And also in the future, we have plans now. We're in discussions about publishing the book with international publishers in different places like the UK, the US, Canada, and also translating it into other languages.
Yeah, wow. It sounds like a lot of work coming up for you guys.
Absolutely. And I should mention that, you know, none of this could have, the translation couldn't have been done without the work of Munis Mansoubi and Sajjad Kabgani, who are my translation consultants. So this was really a team project. You know, I didn't only engage with Behrouz throughout the whole translation, but also I had really important, well-skilled people helping me. So it was, I call it a shared philosophical activity. We were basically a whole team.